I actually have legislation, a constitutional amendment we put forth last year to say that in the event of a reassessment, that any long-term homeowners, people that lived in their house for more than 10 years, would not see those huge spikes.
Welcome to Talking with Doyle, the podcast that gets State Representative Doyle Heffley talking. And Doyle, it's been a while since we podcasted, yep. So we wanted to give like a state of the state in Doyle's view, what we've been talking about. One of the big talking points that has come up is this issue regarding second degree murder and a vote that went through the House that seems to have let murderers out of prison. Why don't we give a recap and just where you stand on that?
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned over 50 years of statute in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and said that a life sentence for second-degree murder was unconstitutional, which I find kind of appalling, right? I mean, this is second-degree murder. So the Senate worked on bipartisan legislation, passed it, Senate Bill 1400, that came over to the House, and the courts gave the legislature 120 days to pass a bill to fix this, right? So the Senate bill, one of the things it did was set up a 35-year minimum. And that's the minimum, like a 35-year minimum for second-degree murder. And it had some other, there were some other flexibilities in there. It wasn't the best in my mind. I think I like the original life better. But anyway, what the House did was they actually took a House bill, 1042, and they amended that, right? And made it worse. So they made that now if somebody's convicted, anybody's convicted of first degree or second degree murder, they can apply for a medical leave if they get sick, if they get COVID or anything like that. And it sets up the sentencing set up by boards that are appointed by liberal judges and liberal governors. And it really, you know, I think if you talk to Pennsylvanians, we want strict sentencing for people that commit the most heinous crimes. And we recently had a policy hearing, a joint policy hearing with the Senate and the House up in Hazleton. I'll tell you what, the way the Attorney General was there, Dave Sunday, where he spoke on it, and speaking to a lot of the district attorneys, they are very concerned. There's 1,100 people right now in the state of Pennsylvania that are serving these life sentences for second-degree murder. I don't think we need to let those people out. I think it's just appalling that we're not called back into session to fix this. Right now, the House could come back. We could vote tomorrow. They call back tomorrow. I would have, you know, really appealed to the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader in the House, Matt Bradford, to call us back and get this done for the people. Put up the Senate bill that passed bipartisan in the Senate, and it will run and it will pass in the House, and we will put this to bed and we will keep these people behind bars. If not, you're going to clog up our court system. Instead of the district attorneys and the prosecutors actually going after active criminals that are committing heinous crimes right now, they're going to be tied up spending hundreds of millions of dollars across the state, you know, retrying cases that were tried 20 or 30 years ago or 10 years ago. It's appalling to waste in taxpayer money and that we would want to let these people out of prison.
What's stopping House Democrats from calling us back into session? Or not me. I'm not a state representative. Yeah. What's stopping them from calling you back into session?
I think it's just ideology. I think, you know, I mean, the one of the big things they're pushing right now is to let more and more people out of prison. I think people that commit murder should be in prison for the rest of their life. I mean, it's a, you know, the victims, I'm on the side of the victims. I'm on the side of justice, not on the side of convicted felons.
We heard from district attorneys. We heard from Attorney General Dave Sunday, the top law enforcement officer here in Pennsylvania, and they all spoke out very heavily against the House Bill 1042.
These are bipartisan district attorneys. Mm-hmm. They're not all Republican district attorneys. These are Democrat DAs. These are Republican DAs, and they all have concerns because right now you don't have a minimum sentence for murder. For capital murder in the state of Pennsylvania has no minimum sentence anymore. So a judge could just, they can rule whatever they want. We've seen some of these very liberal judges in areas. That's why these statutes were put in place years ago. They were enacted in the 70s because of, you know, people getting off for murder or getting light sentences. And society said, we need to make sure that the sentence fits the crime. I mean, there was a case in Carbon County of a gentleman who held his mom down and tried to break her neck while his friend stabbed her in the neck to murder her. He was convicted of second-degree murder. I don't think he should get another chance to be walking the streets. And this case is like that. And you go through the litany, and if anybody wants to go back and look at that policy hearing and talk to what the DAs had said, some of the folks that would be up and eligible for early release. And I don't think as a society we want those people walking our streets again.
And you mentioned about the bipartisan angle of that. There was a district attorney in Allegheny County, a Democrat district attorney, who asked for an extension for you to give you guys more time after this House Bill 1042 had passed. Obviously, because he's concerned as well.
It really is mind-boggling why we wouldn't have run the Senate bill. First off, it's disappointing that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned this, right? I mean, this was a long-standing statute, and put it in the hands of the legislature. We should have been able to get this done. It's very disappointing that the current House majority will not run a clean bill and get this onto the governor's desk.
Now, it's very clear the way you would vote if they call you back into session, so let's hope that happens.
Yeah.
Speaking about maybe a different ideology when we talk about something else that House Democrats have brought up is a reassessment bill. You have fought against property taxes. You have fought for property tax relief. Now we're seeing a little bit of the difference in thoughts in the parties about how we treat property taxes. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
When we talk about property taxes in Carbon County and throughout most of the state, property tax reform, property tax elimination was always a bipartisan issue. It really has gotten to the point now where it's almost become a partisan issue, where we have so many of the very progressive and liberal Democrat members and that don't support it. And it's funny because there was just a co-sponsorship memo put out, and in there it said they view property taxes as a crucial source of revenue for local governments and school districts. And I think that's the difference. When you talk with me or the folks that I represent, when we look at property taxes, it's a burdensome, inequitable tax that prevents people from home ownership. It drives people out of our state. And instead of calling it a crucial resource, we should look at it as an equitable tax and be working on solutions to do a tax shift and transfer away from property taxes. But then this bill, it goes on to want to do reassessments. And anybody that's been through a reassessment knows that a reassessment is just really a way to drive up property taxes and ultimately in the years to come generate more revenue for those local governments. Now, we need to adequately fund our schools. We need to make sure that local governments has the resources that they need. But school district property taxes right now are really crippling our Commonwealth. When you look at affordability and property taxes just continue to go up every year for seniors on fixed incomes. But for young working class families, I mean, it's hard enough to get that home right now. But then when you look at the tax bill, a lot of people just can't afford it. So I'm committed to relieving it. I actually have legislation, a constitutional amendment we put forth last year to say that in the event of a reassessment, that any long-term homeowners, people that lived in their house for more than 10 years, would not see those huge spikes. Right now, we're dealing with an issue in Carbon County with a rebalancing for the Hazleton School District. Hazleton School District is driving up the cost of folks that live in their district in Carbon County by almost 60% for no reason. I mean, this year's budget allotted for more funding for public education than ever before. And with the new formula, school districts like Hazleton are getting more state aid and making up for the gaps in the past. There's no reason that they should have done this to the residents in Carbon County. It's very disappointing. I actually have legislation to deal with that as well. But the School Boards Association and the Hazleton School Board actually sent me a letter opposing it, trying to provide relief for individuals. And reassessments and how these things work, it's really inequitable. Property taxes are inequitable. But when you reassess a property through no fault of their own, say maybe somebody's been living in the property for 20 years, they raised their family. And all of a sudden, because the homes around them are selling for more higher value, they get punished by a reassessment. And their taxes go up. They're not making any more money on their house. They're not generating any more revenue. So, reassessments are really – You can't fix a bad tax like property taxes by reassessing. But we really need to just shift away from school district property taxes and how we fund our schools.
You brought up an amendment that you had that would save homeowners who have been in their home for 10 years from those huge spikes in reassessments. To me, that sounds like it would be hard to argue, because there you're keeping folks in Pennsylvania. You're giving people a motivation to come to Pennsylvania, and you want to keep, it sounds like, almost growing our economy by keeping people here, bringing more people here into Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, last session, I put forth that proposal as an amendment, and it lost on it by one vote on a straight party line vote. And it's disappointing, because property tax reform and these issues used to be bipartisan issues. And it really shows how divided and how ideology has really taken over. I blame a lot of that on the redistricting and how the maps were drawn. And you can see the trend and how that happened and where we're at right now. But I'm going to continue to push for it. I'm going to continue to advocate for it. And if this bill would come up to the House floor, I will put amendments on it to eliminate property taxes, as I have in the past. I will put amendments on it to reform how we do reassessments in this Commonwealth as well.
So that's something we'll have to look forward to going forward. How about anything else? We talk about affordability. What's on your mind regarding other avenues of affordability?
Halfway through August, right? Yeah. We're moving into September. We're coming back at the end of September. We don't have many session days this fall. But when you look at what people's concerns are, what my concerns are when I go home and talk to my wife, when I talk to my parents, when I talk to my daughter, and I talk to the residents as I go out in the community, which we're always out at events and holding town hall meetings, people are concerned about property taxes. People are concerned about affordability and public safety, right? And right now we have, you know, the House majority is opening up the gates and letting people out of prison. They don't want to do anything on property tax. If anything, they're doubling down on reassessments, which are going to raise property taxes. And there's no talk about affordability. Yeah. They don't want to do anything on it. We should be lining these things up. And it seems that that the current makeup in the majority in the House right now doesn't want to address any of those issues. I'm going to keep pushing for them because that's what I'm hearing about. I hope that they're hearing about it from the residents in their district. But as we come into the fall, we'll be ready to file amendments and work. I'll work across the aisle, as I've proven over the last this past session and this past budget cycle. We were able to get bipartisan legislation done. But we really need to focus on the issues that Pennsylvanians are concerned about. And right now, I don't see that coming from the House majority.
And that has to be disappointing for you.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. When I'm out, you know, I'm always out in the public. And like I said, I live it. I hear about it from, you know, from my family. I have a daughter who, you know, young family starting out. And my parents are on a fixed income, relatives. But anytime I'm out in the community, we're always talking about these issues and wanting to improve the lives of the residents in Carbon County and throughout the Commonwealth. Get better access to jobs. Being able to afford to stay in their home, making sure that their communities and their children are safe. These are the big issues we really should be tackling, instead of some of the ideological whims that they go off on at times.